This is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and I welcome you to this special cassette tape presentation entitled The Virtue That Threatens the Church and Society. One of my favorite Bible teachers is a man by the name of Josh McDowell. He is really a very remarkable person. During his distinguished career as a teacher of the Bible to college students, he has spoken more than 20,000 times at over 1,000 universities in more than 83 countries of the world. That is quite a record. I recently heard a tape of Josh McDowell's that focused on a subject I had been thinking about for some time. It concerns what has become in recent years the number one virtue in America. Ironically, it is a virtue that threatens to destroy both the church and society. I say ironically because a virtue, according to the dictionary definition, is a characteristic of moral excellence or moral goodness. It is the conformity of life and conduct to moral laws, to uprightness and rectitude. How then could a virtue be destructive? Well, let's listen for a moment as Josh McDowell introduces us to this important subject.
I believe we are facing one of the greatest threats to the cause of Christ in 2,000 years of the church. And my fear is that so many Christian leaders, denominational leaders, and others are missing what's happening, and within 36 months are going to wake up, shake their heads, and say, "What happened?" Because I am convinced that within 36 to 60 months, we are going to live in a totally, completely different culture than what we live in right now. We are going through this very moment that we're sitting here, the fastest cultural change in the history of America. And I would say 95% of believers are missing it. They're seeing indications of it, but not what is really happening. And I want to address that issue because it's becoming a whole foundation of having to speak out on right from wrong. And what I'm talking about is what has become the number one virtue in America. The number one virtue in America has become the number one threat, or one of the top two or three threats to the cause of Christ. Can anyone tell me what that number one virtue is? Used to be justice, not anymore. Justice is no longer the number one virtue. It's been relegated way down the ladder. What is the number one virtue that we face in America? Anyone?
Tolerance.
Tolerance. My son is 19 years old at the great University of Biola. I got two students there, and I never knew any two students could love an institution as much as Sean and Kelly love Biola University. Well, a year and a half ago, when he was graduating from high school, I spent extra time with him. Each one of my kids, when they graduate from high school, the last 3 months, I spent extra time with them to go over what I've tried to ingrain with them into them their entire life and to get them ready for college. And I said, "Son, have they taught any absolute truth at Julian High School?" Now, an absolute truth is that which is true for all people in all places at all times. I said, "Have they taught you any absolute truth?" He said, "Yes." I expected an immediate no. I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What?" He said, "Tolerance." My 15-year-old daughter, Katie, I said, "Honey, what is one thing that you fear being called?" She said, "Intolerant." Intolerant. Tolerance has become the greatest threat to everything that you stand for. And here's the problem. So many kids come home from school, and mom will say, "Well, what'd you talk about today?" Or, "What went on?" "Well, we talked about tolerance." "Oh, that's wonderful. We need to be tolerant." No, it is not wonderful. And it undermines everything that you believe in. Now, some of you are sitting there, and I can just look in your eyes saying, "Wait a minute, Josh. You're off base." No, I'm not. You listen carefully. The reason I'm saying what I'm saying is this, is that we are singing off two different song sheets. You see, we're in a transitional period where there's two distinct definitions of tolerance. One by parents and people our age right here, the other by kids. And what is being ingrained and taught to our kids is totally different than what is in your mind as a parent. And let me explain that. Pretty much here, you have been conditioned by what is referred to as traditional tolerance. It is now referred to as negative tolerance. Negative tolerance. Negative tolerance would be defined by the Random House Unabridged Dictionary, which says tolerance is to recognize and respect others' beliefs, practices without sharing them, or to bear or put up with someone or something not especially liked. That is how almost everyone in this room has been conditioned with tolerance. Now, that is referred to as negative tolerance. In our circles, we would say and think we're very godly for saying it and very righteous saying, well, you know, you're to love the sinner but to hate the sin. You say that in most university classrooms in America and you will immediately be labeled a heretic, a bigot, and intolerant. If you had the gall to say one of the most intolerant statements today, that you are to love the sinner but hate the sin. And the reason is we're singing off a different song sheet. This is so critical that Dr. Restad Legutko, in an article called The Trouble with Toleration, says, toleration is the ultimate and only generally accepted litmus test of morality. No other single category, not justice, not equality, not even freedom, has won such wide moral support in the Western world. We say things like, you know, I love you, but I don't believe in what you stand for. I love you, but I don't believe in your lifestyle. Now, the way we've been conditioned, that is righteous and that is tolerant. Under the new song sheet, that is so intolerant, it's pathetic. Now, there's a new tolerance out. Now, the new tolerance is called positive tolerance. Over against what you've been conditioned in, negative tolerance. Positive tolerance basically says this. Every single individual's beliefs, values, lifestyle, and truth claims are equal.
Now, let me try to summarize for you for just a moment what Josh McDowell has thus far presented. He has pointed out that the traditional concept of tolerance has given way to a new, perverted concept. The traditional concept, the one I grew up with, and possibly the one you grew up with, was the idea of permitting something that you do not agree with. It was one of the core concepts of American democracy, perhaps best expressed in that old saying, I may not agree with what you think and say, but I am willing to die to protect your right to think and say it. It was freedom of diversity. A freedom that was made it possible, for example, for Catholics and Protestants and Jews to live together peacefully in the same society. This traditional concept of tolerance has now been replaced by a perverted and twisted concept that is being taught our children in the schools today. It is the concept that true tolerance demands not only permission, but praise and outright endorsement. Thus, it is no longer sufficient for me to passively permit the homosexual lifestyle. I must now endorse it and praise it as a legitimate alternative lifestyle. And if I refuse to do that, then guess what? I am a bigot. This new form of tolerance is really no virtue at all because it is based on a lie. The lie that serves as its foundation is the belief that all values, beliefs, lifestyles, and truths are equal. Democracy is no better than dictatorship. Capitalism is no better than socialism. Christianity is no better than Hinduism. To put it in modern jargon, the contemporary concept of tolerance says different strokes for different folks with all judgment put aside. As Josh McDowell put it, everything is tolerated except intolerance. You can witness this new form of tolerance on American television every day. All you have to do is tune in one of the talk shows like Oprah Winfrey or Geraldo Rivera or Montel Williams, Jerry Springer, Rosie O'Donnell, Sally Jesse, the list goes on and on. Any of them, tune them in. And you will see a parade of moral perverts, like mothers who sleep with their daughters' boyfriends. And if anyone in the audience has the audacity to stand up and say, I think what you're doing is wrong, the audience will turn on that person in mob fury, denouncing them as intolerant bigots. The result is what the prophet Isaiah pointed to as a fundamental evil of Judean society, namely, people calling good evil and evil good. This new form of tolerance is rooted in modern society's rejection of God. You see, if there is no God, then there are no objective standards. Every man's opinion is as good and valid as any other man's opinion, and so one has no right whatsoever to judge and condemn anyone else, unless, of course, the person is exhibiting some form of intolerance. It is no wonder that modern society hates the Ten Commandments so much. Ted Turner has rewritten them into the form of what he calls the Ten Humanistic Suggestions. The Supreme Court has ruled them to be unconstitutional. Schools all over America have been ordered to remove them from their walls. In colleges and universities all across America today, the worst thing that can happen to a student is to be accused of intolerance. Merely the accusation will result in the student being required to take a course in sensitivity training. And he must take this course before he can enroll in any other credit courses to be counted toward his degree. And what happens in the sensitivity training course? He is bombarded with propaganda to convince him that all lifestyles have equal merit. It is exactly the same technique that the Chinese communists have used for decades to brainwash a whole society. The resulting moral vacuum that has been created by this new form of tolerance has produced some very strange consequences. Take, for example, the student at UCLA a few years ago who decided to attend his classes naked. He ran around all over the campus naked as a jaybird. He was dubbed the naked guy. For weeks, he was allowed to get away with this disgraceful and immoral behavior simply because no one on the campus was willing to stand up and say it was disgraceful and immoral. Finally, someone thought of a politically correct way of dealing with the problem. His behavior was declared to be sexual harassment, and he was ordered to put his clothes back on. When God is removed from the picture, objective standards collapse, and all truth becomes relative. An idiot's claim that Ronald McDonald is the only hope for mankind becomes equally valid with my claim that there is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. I have no right to judge and condemn his claim, nor do I have the right to point out that he is an idiot. That is the craziness of this new tolerance. The impact of this thinking is undermining our educational system, and I'd like to give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. First of all, grading systems are under attack everywhere. After all, who has the right to say one student is better than another? So, regular attendance, regardless of performance, is equated with a grade of A. Or, let me give you another example. Style has now become more important than substance. The right answer in math is not as important anymore as having fun with the process of trying to find an answer. The process is more important than the answer. Correct grammar is no longer important in English. The important thing instead is to express your real feelings, even if it means doing so in a run-on sentence that contains bad grammar and endless vulgarisms. Learning molecular structure in biology is not nearly as important as becoming environmentally conscious. Or let me give you another example of the impact of this new tolerance on education. Truth has been subordinated to appreciation. I used to teach at the university level, and two of the courses I taught were comparative government and comparative political philosophy. In both courses, the purpose was to evaluate the competing truth claims. Is democracy more valid than oligarchy? Is communism more valid than capitalism? Is existentialism more valid than rationalism? Today, such an approach would be considered pure bigotry. I would be fired immediately at any major state university. The purpose of comparative studies today is not to compare and evaluate and conclude, come to conclusions about the competing truth claims. No, today the purpose is, quote, to understand and appreciate the competing systems. Thus, a comparative religion course would no longer evaluate the truth claims of competing religions. Instead, it would strive to show you that Hinduism is as valid a religion as Christianity or any other religion in the world. This, of course, explains the danger of the current fad of multiculturalism in our public schools. You know, it just sounds so good, multiculturalism, the idea of teaching our children about all the cultures of the world and not just having them focus upon their heritage of Western civilization. But the problem is that with that comes this new tolerance, and what the children are taught is that one culture is just as good as another, and I want to tell you something, folks, that is a lie. The Aztec culture that emphasized human sacrifices is not as good as a Christian culture that emphasizes the sanctity of life. And the Indian culture that emphasizes gross idolatry in the form of worshiping every aspect of creation is not as good as a Christian culture that focuses on the worship of the one true God. And this should be apparent in the consequences that characterize the two cultures. The Indian culture has produced a society in which hundreds of millions of people live in abject poverty and tens of thousands starve to death every day. But no, such judgments cannot be made under the rules of the new tolerance. For the new tolerance requires the abandonment of convictions. Think about that. The new tolerance requires the abandonment of convictions. G.K. Chesterton, the great English author, put it this way one time. He wrote, "Tolerance is the virtue of a man who has no convictions." You see, the reason is that the new tolerance demands indifference. And so in the new society, you cannot have convictions because that makes you intolerant. You must be indifferent. Let's look now at the implication of all of this for Christianity. Christianity is being heavily impacted by the new intolerance. For one thing, it is turning society against evangelical Christianity. In fact, I would put it even stronger than that. I would go so far as to say that the new tolerance is fueling outright hatred and persecution of evangelical Christianity. The reason, of course, is simple. Evangelicals stand on the Word of God, and because they do, they feel compelled to speak with moral outrage, moral indignation against the sins of society. Society responds by screaming, "Bigotry, bigotry, bigotry." Evangelicals are then written off publicly and publicly denounced as Bible thumpers and self-righteous prigs and redneck bigots. Just consider, for example, the way in which the press overwhelmingly condemned the recent resolutions adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention. And what were those terrible resolutions? Number one, that there should be a right to display the Ten Commandments in all government offices, courthouses, and schools. Number two, that Bible publishers should refrain from accommodating their translations to contemporary cultural pressures. Number three, that Christians should join in a boycott against the Walt Disney Corporation for its flagrant promotion of homosexuality, adultery, and infidelity. And number four, that the U.S. government should take sanctions against governments that promote religious persecution against Christians. Do you see a double standard operating here? The new tolerance is willing to tolerate anything except evangelical Christianity because it is intolerant towards sin. Thus, it is okay to bash Christians, but it is morally wrong to criticize homosexuals. It is okay to put a crucifix in a jar of urine and call it art, whereas it would be totally unacceptable to put a rainbow pin in the same jar, because, of course, that pin is one of the symbols of the New Age movement. And it is okay to boycott American corporations that pollute the environment or exploit foreign workers, but it is totally unacceptable to boycott a corporation that promotes immorality. Again, the only thing the new tolerance will not tolerate is intolerance towards sin. There is a second area where the new tolerance has greatly impacted Christianity, my friends, and that is here, this. It has invaded many, if not most, of our churches by diluting their stand against sin. John 3:16 has been replaced in most churches as the central verse with Matthew 7, verse 1. And what does Matthew 7, verse 1 say? judge not, that you be not judged. How many times have you heard that verse in recent years? Judge not, that you be not judged. The result is, as Don Wildman, head of the American Family Association, has often pointed out, America has 300,000 silent pulpits because pastors are unwilling to denounce gambling, abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, pornography, or any other social sin. Let me just pause for a moment here to say that when the Bible warns against judging, it is talking about judging motives, not words or actions. The Bible requires us to judge words and actions. Do you hear that? It requires us. It demands that we judge words and actions because we are commanded to test everything by the Word. And it is impossible to test something without judging it. Jesus himself said in John 24, when he called his disciples to him, he said, I want you to judge with righteous judgment. That's a command of Jesus. Judge with righteous judgment. And Paul complimented the Bereans because they tested everything he taught by the Word of God. When the church stops speaking out against sin, let me tell you, sin begins to multiply. Let me say it again. When the church stops speaking out against sin, sin begins to multiply. Consider these words from 2 Timothy 3, where Paul, speaking as a prophet of God, talks about the end times. He says, in the last days, perilous or difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sounds like the evening news. It's a society that's fallen apart because it has no values. It's a society that has given in to the tolerance of everything. It's a society wallowing in despair. And what is the reason for it? Verse 5. Men will hold to the form of religion, the form of religion. Oh, we've got religion all over this country today. But it's the form of religion. But it says they will deny its power. They will deny the power of the Word of God. They'll deny the power of the blood of Jesus. Yes, the new tolerance has severely impacted Christianity today. Thus far, I have pointed out two ways in which the new tolerance has impacted Christianity. Let me just review those for you briefly before we look at a third way. First of all, I pointed out that the new tolerance is turning society against evangelical Christianity. In fact, I put it even stronger than that. I said that the new tolerance is fueling outright hatred and persecution of evangelical Christianity. And I pointed out, of course, that the reason for this is because evangelical Christianity stands on the Word of God, and because evangelicals stand on the Word of God, they feel compelled to speak with moral indignation against the sins of society. And that's the one thing the new tolerance will not tolerate, is people speaking out against sin. The second way in which the new tolerance has impacted Christianity is that it has invaded many of our churches, the mentality of the churches, if not most of them, and has resulted in diluting their stand against sin. The cornerstone verse, as I pointed out, is no longer John 3:16, but Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. And the result is that all across this land, many pastors are no longer speaking out against the evils of society for fear that they will be called intolerant or be labeled as bigots. There is a third way in which the new tolerance has impacted Christianity, primarily the mainline liberal denominations, and I must say to you in advance, this is a very, very sad way. It is reflected in the growing attitude that now dominates the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches, and I'm speaking, of course, of the thoroughly unbiblical attitude that, quote, there are many roads to God because God has revealed himself in many different ways. Thus, as a classic example of the new tolerance, these Christian leaders are now saying that other religions are equally valid with Christianity and that, in fact, it is wrong, dead wrong, to send forth Christian missionaries because they violate the cultural sensitivities of foreign peoples and communicate the idea that there is something superior about the Christian message. All of this, of course, makes a liar out of Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. You'll find those very intolerant words in John 14, verse 6. It also makes a liar of the Apostle Peter, who proclaimed concerning Jesus, and I quote, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved. You'll find those words in Acts 4, verse 12. In 1992, one of our radio listeners in California sent me an incredible advertisement that appeared in newspapers throughout California and caused quite a stir. It was a full-page ad run by the First Federal Bank of California, and at the top there was these big headlines that said, "In Praise of Intolerance." I don't know who wrote the ad, but he knew what he was doing because he knew what would catch people's attention, because even in 1992, tolerance, this new tolerance, was emerging as the cardinal virtue of American society. And he knew that when people saw that headline, "In Praise of Intolerance," they would stop and read, as I did, and I'm sure many thousands of others did. The ad is a safe one. It goes on to say some very politically correct things, but I praise God for the ad because it forced many people, including me, to stop and think about intolerance and to consider the fact that there really are some things that should not be tolerated. Underneath that big headline, it said, "Intolerance is good when it motivates and results in constructive action." And then it gives some examples of good intolerance. Intolerance of racism. Intolerance of drive-by shootings. Intolerance of those who desecrate synagogues, churches, and cemeteries. Intolerance of people who drink and drive and kill. See what I mean? Intolerance of thugs who beat up people on the streets. Intolerance of kids who bring guns to school. Intolerance of a legal system that is more focused on making money than on justice. Intolerance of graffiti. Intolerance of parents who don't take charge of their children. Intolerance of dishonesty. Intolerance of mediocrity. Then it ends by saying, "We must set the highest standards for ourselves and for our children. Only in this way can we fulfill the potential that lies within each of us and within our society at large." Well, I tell you what, that ad really got me to thinking. And the first thing I did is I pulled out my pen and I kept writing. I began to dream of a perfect society. I began to dream of a society that would be intolerant of many other things. And I just wrote a few of those things down. I dreamed of living in a society that would be completely and totally intolerant of blasphemy, intolerant of pornography, intolerant of false gods, intolerant of government corruption, intolerant of deadbeat dads, intolerant of welfare cheats, intolerant of illegitimate mothers who have mindlessly baby after baby to be cared for by the state. I thought of how good it would be to live in a society that would be intolerant of illicit drugs, intolerant of the teaching of evolution, intolerant of school violence, intolerant of the homosexual lifestyle, intolerant of violent and immoral television programs and movies, intolerant of the blame game, intolerant of condom and needle distribution programs, intolerant of gambling, intolerant of valueless education, intolerant of greed, intolerant of religious exploitation, intolerant of debt. And suddenly it occurred to me that what I was describing there was the millennial society of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's what His society is going to be like. Listen to these words from Micah chapter 4. "It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. His kingdom will be the chief one. It will be raised up above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the kingdom of God, into the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us about His ways, that we may walk in His paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and He will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war, and each of them will sit under his vine and under his own fig tree. There will be international peace, there will be international prosperity. Every person will have his own vineyard and his own fig tree." And why? Because Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. Be no toleration, no toleration of the evil that dominates society today. In Isaiah 65, we have another description of it. It says, "Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, because I'm going to create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness." This is a description of what it's going to be like in the millennium. It says in verse 19, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will it be in an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days, for the youth will die at the age of 100. That is, you know, a person who dies at 100 will be considered a baby, because lifespans will be expanded during that time. And one who does not reach the age of 100 will be considered a sinner. And there shall build houses, and they will inhabit them, and they will plant vineyards, and they eat their fruit, and they shall not build, and another inhabit, and they shall not plant, and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree shall be, so shall be the days of my people, and my chosen ones shall wear out the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. And it will come a pass, before they call out, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And the wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Oh, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, I wanted to read you those verses because, my friends, let me tell you, the reason the earth is going to be flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice for 1,000 years during the reign of Christ is because every person in governing authority on planet earth is going to be a person in a glorified body. Every mayor, every governor, every president, every king will be in a glorified body with the mind of Christ, a glorified saint, ruling over those in the flesh. Every judge on planet earth will be a glorified person. That means that when those in the flesh violate the law of God, they'll be brought before a judge. The trial will be quick. It will be precise. It will be to the point. There will be no dream team attorneys. There will be no separate system of justice for those who have more money than others. And the decision of the judge will be perfect because he will have the mind of Christ. And the decision will be carried out immediately. And there will be no appeal because the first decision will be the perfect one. And every teacher on planet earth will be a person in a glorified body teaching everything, mathematics, geography, everything out of the Word of God. Evil will not be tolerated, and the earth will be flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice as the waters cover the sea. Well, speaking of these prophetic implications, let me just expand them for a moment. The religious impact of the new intolerance really has profound prophetic implications. I see it as paving the way for the one world religion of the Antichrist. Oh, I can hear the Antichrist speaking right now on worldwide television saying, it makes no difference what you call your God. He can be Yahweh or Baal or Allah or Krishna or Buddha or Mother Earth or Self. Just give me your allegiance as your God's representative on earth, and I will guarantee your freedom to worship as you please, unless, of course, you deny my claim to be the Messiah of your God. It is coming, my friends, and the new tolerance is pointing the way by conditioning mankind to accept the claims of the Antichrist. You know, if Jesus were to return today, he would be considered the most intolerant person on planet earth. Do you remember when he came the first time? He confronted the woman at the well with the sin of her promiscuous lifestyle, revealing that she had had 5 husbands and that she was currently living with a man who was not her husband. Do you remember how he confronted the woman caught in adultery by telling her, you go and sin no more? Do you remember how he confronted the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of Israel and pronounced woe after woe upon them? Do you remember how he confronted the money changers in the temple, overturning their tables and using a whip to drive them from the temple grounds? Do you remember a letter he sent to the church in Thyatira in which he condemned their acts of immorality and warned that if they did not repent, he would inflict sickness upon them and kill them with pestilence? The word says, when Jesus returns, he will come to judge and wage war against the enemies of God. And the word says that when he establishes his world government, he will rule with a rod of iron. There will be no tolerance of evil. And the result is that the world will be flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice as the waters cover the sea. As we await his return, we are to be tolerant in the traditional sense by responding to those who differ with us in love. We are even to love our enemies. We are to love our persecutors. But we are not to be indifferent. We are called to be salt. We are called to be the light of the world. That means we must stand up and speak out in behalf of righteousness. In Psalm 94:16, God asks, who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness? In Psalm 97:10, he says, hate evil, you who love the Lord. In Proverbs 24:25, he says, to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. In Romans 12:9, he says, abhor evil and cling to what is good. And in Amos 5:15, he says, hate evil, love good, establish justice. Children of God, we must stand for righteousness. But my friends, most of all, we must boldly tell the world that there is a God who hates sin and who hates it so much that he sent his only Son to die for our sins so that we might be reconciled to our Creator. This tape program has been produced by Lamb and Lion Ministries. If you would like to get a copy of our tape and publications catalog, you can do so by writing to us at P.O. Box 919, McKinney, Texas 75070. That's Post Office Box 919, McKinney, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, McKinney, Texas 75070. Or you can call us at 1-800-705-8316. Again, that's 1-800-705-8316. This is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.